but to return to the place where I left off. When I arrived home from Brighton, I found things very trying in Providence, for what with afflictions in the family, children, school bills, rent and taxes, clothing and provisions being very dear, and most of the children being now men and women at the table, I found that I was very much embarrassed in my circumstances, and could see no way how it was possible that I could get out of my difficulties and pay every one what I owed. And yet some of my professed friends wondered what I did with my money, £3 a week, and they could not but think that I must be laying some by very fast. But I found the case quite the reverse, for I saw that I was sinking very fast, and how to get out of it I could not tell. About this time there was a house to let a little more than a mile out of town. I went to see the house, which was situated upon what they call Trowel Common, and found it to be a tolerably good-sized house, and with a little yard and conveniences to keep a cow or two with liberty. I understood at the proper time to turn them on the common. I was quite taken with the place, for there was a good-sized orchard full of apple trees and a good garden, and it appeared to me that this was the place where I should be able to get out of my difficulties. For I thought farmers are the men that get on the best, and I thought I would turn farmer too, not with a view to gain riches, but to get out of my present difficulties, and I considered it was right to try all I could to get on, and provide for my family without burdening the people so much. When I came home, I told my wife where I had been, and how well pleased I was with the situation, and I was quite sure it was the very spot for us. But she could not see with me. Neither could she believe that the Lord would bless it, for I am confident, said she, whatever you take in hand except preaching the gospel will never prosper, for I believe you must live upon the gospel. And so it turned out, but I could not believe it till I had proved it, for I thought Paul worked with his hands, and I was determined that I would do so too, and would not be entirely dependent upon the friends, for it cut me to pieces to hear from one or another that some of the people thought I was quite wrong in burdening them as I did. So I fully made up my mind that take the house I would, though all my real friends advised me not. So off I went and took the house, which in a few weeks I was to enter into possession of, and if I recollect aright, it being about May, I began to prepare to stock the orchard and garden by planting potatoes and other things needful for a family, and wonderful expectations I had that I should save my present rent completely the first year, and that would go towards paying my debts. At length I got to my new habitation, but found it a most expensive job, what with moving and fitting up some things in the house that must of necessity be done. I had borrowed £20 of a friend to stock my little farm with, and when I had planted all my ground with potatoes and other vegetables, I went to market and bought a lot of pigs. If I recollect right, we had about 15, and these I thought I could turn on the common. But at the winding up of it, I thought I must have been turned on the common myself, for I soon found I must turn my livestock into money, or else I should be in the wrong place. But when I offered the pigs for sale, I was told that poor pigs were so cheap that I should get very little for them, and I was advised to put them up and fatten them. It would be, they said, so much better than selling them as they were, for that would be next to giving them away. So off I went to the mealman and agreed to have as much barley meal as would fatten 9 or 10 pigs. My wife told me as soon as ever I began to fatten them that she believed fat pigs would come down in price as fast as poor ones, and true enough it was the case, for when I had killed and finished them all up, they did not bring me in a third part of what I had calculated upon. As to the crop of potatoes, which I had planted in the orchard and which I had expected would amount to upwards of 20 sacks, they rotted in the ground. And as for the apples, which I had calculated would pay half the rent, I believe I had not 5 shillings worth altogether. Nay, it appeared that the Lord had gone out against me and blasted every plan. And when I came to look over my accounts, I found that coming to this place with all things connected to it had sunk me nearly 40 in debt, more than I was before I went there. Oh, I thought I must have gone out of my senses. I think I should never forget one day. In my misery, I went into the orchard and sat under an apple tree, and how my soul went out to God that He would be so kind as to show me why all this calamity had befallen me, and if I had acted wrong, I begged from my heart He would make it plain to me. And here I wrestled with my whole heart and soul till the dear Lord was pleased to answer me with these words: No man that warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Oh, how I fell under it, and while my soul was weeping and confessing that I had done wrong, and begging He would forgive me, these words sounded in my soul: Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so, had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. And what light and glory shone in these words in the same chapter: Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith He it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? Oh, how my soul was humbled and melted down at his blessed feet, and how clearly did I see that those that do not reap spiritual things, how grudgingly do they communicate carnal things! I saw as clearly as the noonday that we had some of this sort among us at that time who did not reap spiritual things from my poor preaching, or else they would never have found it such hard work to communicate to my necessities. But God showed me that I had nothing to do with their words nor looks. Oh, how seasonably did these words come and sound in my soul: What is that to thee? Follow thou me. When I sent you out without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And my very soul answered, Nothing, Lord. And oh, how blessedly the Lord brought to my remembrance the way He had led me, the helps and deliverances that He had wrought for me to that present day, and have been a very present help in all times, in all my times of troubles. And these words sounded so sweetly: He hath delivered, He doth deliver. Yes, I exclaimed, and I trust He will yet deliver. Oh, how clearly did I see the needs be for all that had befallen me, for I was nearly eaten up with the things of the world, and sometimes as savage as a bear bereaved of her whelps, because I could not have my own way. I speak it to my shame, and that I felt so full of wrath and anger boiling up at times in my heart, both against God and man, and that I did really think God had given me up to hard presumption, and how I hobbled through with my preaching for several months, God only knows, for I cannot tell. It was with me little else than darkness, hardness, bondage, and misery, for my head and heart were constantly hard at work, and as God tumbled one castle down, I was building up another. As he hedged up my way with thorns in one place, I was trying hard in another place to break through there. Sometimes on a Saturday I verily thought I should go mad, for I could get no text. Everything was going wrong in the house, and sometimes the pigs got out of the sty into the garden, plowing up the few potatoes I had left, tearing up the cabbages and spoiling everything they came near. I remember particularly one Saturday that had been in the garden and I had driven them out, not in the best of tempers, and as I thought, fastened them in so completely that I considered it would be impossible for them to break out again. But in about 2 hours, as I was got a little calm and was attempting to pray for a text, tidings were brought that the pigs were in the garden. Oh, thinks I, the very devil must be in the swine, and I believe he was not very far from them when I got near them, for the devil was very strong in me, and it was a wonder that I was kept from swearing, for I verily believe never did a poor blasphemous wretch come out with more oaths outwardly than I felt inwardly. When I had got them secured in their house again and got into my room, oh, the terror that seized my poor mind for the feelings which I had had. Oh, how I hung down my poor head and wished I had never been born. I could neither see nor feel that there was any more grace in my heart than there was in the swine. Surely, cried I am deceived, and am deceiving the church of God. What can I expect but vengeance and wrath to follow and pursue me, and plunge me at last into that hell that is my just due? How I got through with preaching the following day I cannot tell, but I did somehow or other, and what astonished me was that though I was so fast bound up, the word of God was not bound, for he bore testimony to the word of his grace by calling and delivering many precious souls. Oh, the cursed infidelity that at times rushed into my mind! How can you prove the Bible to be the word of God? Or how can you prove there is a God? Look at such and such men that can curse and swear, break the Sabbath, and care for neither God nor man nor devil, and see how they prosper in everything they put their hands to. And is it likely, if there were a God, he would bear with such wretches? And look at yourself, and many more that profess to be God's people and believe the Bible to be the word of God. See how you are plagued, tormented, and crossed, and everything keeps coming contrary to your wishes and desires. And see the situation you are in, with the immense debts that you owe, and with all your strivings and desires to pay them, you are sinking further and further. Sometimes I sunk so deep under these feelings that I verily believed I should never rise more, nor should I ever have risen had not he who is the resurrection and the life come to me and raised me up, as I have mentioned, under the apple tree. Oh, I lay as passive in his hands as a child. Bless his dear name. He burned up all my fleshly trumpery rubbish into ashes. And there I lay at his feet in my feelings, confessing my baseness and foolishness, and I told him to do with me as it seemed good in his sight, that I could be anything or nothing that he might be glorified. And oh, what a blessed change I felt under the apple tree, and when he gave me beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that I might be called a tree of righteousness, and that he might be glorified. I truly felt my soul willing to bear whatever burden he might be pleased to put on, and I did indeed feel his easy yoke, and his yoke easy and his burden light. My soul was now led out in prayer from day to day, that he would open a way that I might leave the place and come into the town again. One day I was sitting in the garden, and when we had been there, I think, about 10 months, and there wanted about 2 months to the rent day, when I should have to pay, if I recollect right, £22, and I sank at the thoughts of it, how I was to get the money up, and then give the landlord warning that I should leave. And while I was pondering these things over, there came a person out of Trowbridge, whom I knew by sight, and asked me if I was intending to leave the house which I then occupied. I told him, yes, that I did intend it. "Well," says he, "I have not my health very well in the town, and I think such a walk as this would do me good, so if you have no objection, I will take it off your hands." To this I answered that I should be glad if he would. "But," says he, "I shall want to come in about a fortnight, for the springtime is coming on, and I want to have the benefit of the air." "Well," says I, "the sooner the better, for I am sick and tired of it." So off I set to the landlord to know if he was willing to take such a man as his tenant, and set me free from his house after I had paid him my year's rent. He told me that he knew the person and would consent to it. Oh, how I blessed and praised the Lord that he had opened so unexpected a way that I could leave the house without giving 6 months' warning. "Bless the Lord," my soul exclaimed. "He is able to bring me out of it all." So off I went into the town and found a house standing empty, which I thought would suit us very well, and I took it. And in about a week, I think, we moved and took possession of our new habitation. But oh, this sinking of soul when I came to reckon up my debts. It appeared impossible that ever I could pay them, and I called myself a thousand fools that ever I should have acted so foolishly. But bless the Lord, I found one promise true again and again. He giveth power unto the faint, and unto them that have no might he increaseth strength. I had nowhere else to fly but to him who had the cattle upon 1,000 hills, and all the gold and silver at his command, and my soul was crying to him day and night that he would appear for me, for I was cured of cutting, planning, and scheming how to get out of trouble, as I found by bitter experience that that was the way only to get deeper in. Oh, the blessedness when God helps us to cease from our own wisdom and leave our cares in the hands of a covenant God who ever was, ever is, and ever will be faithful to his promise. And so I found it in this case, for God brought me out by a way that I knew not, and made darkness light before me, and crooked things straight, so that my soul leaped for joy. Some of the members of the church had pity on me, and unknown to me, went to some of the church and congregation, and had a collection for me towards the loss that I had met with. And I was quite humbled with the liberality of so many of the friends, for if I recollect aright, they collected more than £20. Oh, how my soul blessed the Lord for this blessed gift. Surely my soul cried out, "The hearts of all men are in the hands of the Lord, and he does whatsoever he will in the armies of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth." I was not long before I was distributed the money, and this encouraged me still to cry on to the Lord, for I had a £10 debt at one place that was coming due, which I must pay somehow or other, but how I could not tell. But my eyes were up unto the Lord, for I had nowhere else to look. And here I was till the day before I was to pay the money, and there was no appearance whatever of the money coming in. Oh, what a fit of unbelief did I fall into. Tomorrow is the day, and no possibility now of having it. And what will your friends think that have been so liberal when they come to hear you owe £10 more and cannot pay it? Yes. And what would they think if they knew of the many £10 that you owe? Oh, how my soul cried unto the Lord, and how as sweet the dear promises flowed into my soul. Precious promises when we come in the very spot where they fit so well. There is not a word out of place then. Truly, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. A word spoken in season, how good it is. And I found them very good and precious. For let the devil come in on what side he pleased, God sent me a promise that he would provide. And so I found in the morning, for the postman came in to the door with 1 shilling and 11 pence. Oh, the sound of 1 shilling and 11 pence. It made my soul to dance for joy. It was a letter from my dear old friend and brother, Mr. Gadsby, which I was not long in opening, and the first thing I saw was a 10-pound note. Up into my bedroom I ran, and fell upon my bed, blessing and praising my God, till all the strength of my body and soul seemed to be gone. Peter had no more wonder, love, and joy, when he girt his fisher's coat about him and leaped into the sea to come to his Lord. I clasped his feet with my feelings, and washed them with tears of joy, and wiped them with the hair of my head. Nay, such displays of God's wonderful love and goodness may be felt, but can never be told. After blessing and thanking God for the 10 pounds, I then proceeded to read the letter. My friend Gadsby began it with blessings upon the head of our dear Lord, that had appeared for me in such a kind way as the God of Providence, and then went on to tell me that he had called to see a friend of his, who was also a friend of mine, and that in the course of conversation this friend had asked how John was going on, to which he had answered that he believed he was up to the neck in trouble. For, says my friend G., I had a letter from him not long ago, and he was in great fears he should never be able to get on at Trowbridge. On this, as the letter went on to relate, my kind friend put his hand into his pocket, took out a 20-pound note, and said, "Send him that. It will do him good, but don't tell him who sent it." "Now," said the letter, "as you owe some money in Manchester, I will keep 10 pounds in my hands till I hear from you, and if you cannot pay it now, I will send the other 10 if you wish it." Oh, the feelings I had are past describing. Tongue cannot utter it, nor pen describe it. I was so lost in my feelings. Truly, my very soul exclaimed, "The Lord hath done great things for me, whereof I am glad." Oh, how establishing, confirming, and settling are such blessed deliverances as these of the love, mercy, grace, and faithfulness of a covenant God towards his dear children, who are driven to their wits' end and know not what to do. How delightful it is to see and feel, and to be living witnesses to prove that God has heard and answered their poor cries. How sweetly can they enter into these words, "I love the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." This is the Lord's own account of them. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God, and that there is none else." I was not long before I sent my never-failing friend Mr. Gadsby a letter to say that I had received the 10-pound note safely, and the blessing it had been to me, and how well it fitted, and wished him to employ the other 10 pounds towards settling what I owed at Manchester. Oh, the wonders of a covenant God and Father! Oh, what a blessed confidence I had for some time, and that God would bring me through, and that I should live to see the day that he would enable me to pay my debts. For I believe in my heart that the grace of God, known and felt, will make a man honest in his dealings, and will lead him to desire that he may adorn the doctrine of God his Savior and his conduct at home within his own family, in the church, and in the world. Oh, how near and dear is the cause of God and truth to his heart at times. And what cries and tears he has to God that he will preserve him from dishonoring his blessed name, or causing the mouth of the uncircumcised to say, "Ah, so would we have it." Oh, how my poor soul has trembled for fear this would be the case with me. But hitherto the Lord has preserved me, and I am at a point, and that it is only by the grace of God, and that I am what I am.